This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading, followed by a sermon, and then concluding with a prayer.
This is the first Sunday of 2024. It seems like quite some time since New Year's Eve. But I want to spend some time this morning thinking about what that means as we enter a new year as a congregation, but also as individuals and as families. And I want to read the start of a very famous letter from Paul, 2 Corinthians. And this is the very opening chapter and the first 11 verses of that chapter. So this is Paul writing to the church in Corinth for a second time. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we may not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your precious words to us. We thank you for the examples, the countless examples that we have to look through. Be with us this morning in those words and what is said now in the prayers and the worship. And as we start a new year, Lord, may we approach it with excitement and knowing that you are with us. And we ask this in your name. Amen. I'm here with my family this morning, and we are members of Fisherwick, just down the road, where Catherine was an assistant minister. So we've known Catherine and Johnny for quite some time. And last week in Fisherwick, I was saying to John earlier that we celebrated 200 years as a congregation. So back in 1823, down in Fishwick Place, which is now Church House, the Fishwick congregation started. Then in 1901, it moved to its current location on the Malone Road at the edge of Chlorine Gardens there, which at the time was the edge of Belfast and at the far side of Queen's University. And it gave up its location in Fisherwick Place, which is now Church House. And our Minister Emeritus, Reverend Derek McKelvey, who I'm sure most of you will know, was speaking about a bit of history of the church. And the moderator of the General Assembly was there to say a few words as well. And it was just really interesting thinking back on what has been. But Derek, as much as he talked about that, also mentioned about moving forward. And I have been going to Fisherwick since the late 90s when I moved down from the North Coast to live in the big smoke of Belfast and lived in Derry Volgey Halls, the Presbyterian Halls, which had just opened. And some of my best friends I met then, and we're now over 25 years, we've been firm friends. And every single year for the past, about 15, 16 years, we have hosted in our house a New Year's Eve party. And that first New Year's Eve party, there was about 20 people. But there's about 9 families, and as the years have progressed, those families have got bigger and bigger and bigger. And last year, 2022 going into 2023, we had 45 people at our house for New Year's Eve. And if you had said to us that a year later there would be 46 of us, I would have thought, no chance. But in the past 12 months, if you had said that there would be another scullion and I would have changed jobs, I would have said the chances of either of those happening were very, very small. The fact that both could happen were minuscule. But here I am, the first week of January 2024. A father to a newborn again, who's just made her presence felt there, and starting a new job with Johnny in Glastry. And it makes me think, what does the next 12 months hold? The last 12 months have flown by, and I want us all to think about that this morning. For a lot of people, 2023 were a difficult period in our lives, whether it be personally, professionally, cost of living, bereavement. But we have no idea what the next 12 months holds. But at the start of a new year, it's interesting to think about how societies try and ensure that the next 52 weeks are going to be really good for them. For example, on New Year's Day in Japan, people eat fish which are able to swim against strong currents. I'm not sure which particular fish they are. I'm not a fisherman at all. But these particular types of fish which swim against the currents are eaten by Japanese people, believing that this will enable them to move against the strong currents which they face in their own lives. People in Hungary eat roast pig with an apple or a four-leaf clover in its mouth, believing that this will bring them good fortune and health in the coming year. In another part of Europe, women eat chicken gizzard, thinking that this act will make them beautiful throughout the new year and leading into the next 12 months. So as we start 2024, let's take some time to think about what is ahead, to assess our own relationship with God, and maybe think about some options we have moving forward. Very often you hear about people keeping New Year resolutions. I used to, as a younger man, but the older I get, the busier life is, and I felt it was more of a burden than it was anything else. And in a recent survey, most New Year resolutions don't last more than about 3 weeks. And if you're still going at a weekend, fair play to you. That diet you committed to, that only lasts until your first proper Christmas or first Sunday roast this afternoon. It is strange, but sometimes having these resolutions at the start of the year can almost feel like a tie, like a cement block around our ankles, dragging us down as opposed to bringing us forward. And as Christians, we, rather than focusing on New Year resolutions, rather we at this stage should be having a new dedication to keep our commandments, keeping our commitments to God each day. What about this for a commitment ahead? To live all year in 2024 totally dependent on the Lord. And think carefully about what that means before you automatically think, yes, that's for me. It means that we place all we are, all we have, and all we hope to be at the foot of the cross. It requires that we make up our minds to trust in Him at all times, not just when it suits us. Sometime in the early part of the 19th century, one dark winter night, a weary traveler came to the banks of the mighty Mississippi for the first time. There was no bridge in sight, and ice covered the water as far as he could see. Could he dare to cross it? Would the ice bear its weight? Was it load-bearing? What would happen? But it was urgent that he reach the other side. He was in a hurry. So finally, after much hesitation and with fear and trembling, he began cautiously creeping on his hands and knees across the surface of the ice. By distributing his weight in this way, he hoped to prevent the ice from cracking beneath him. And about halfway across, being painfully slow doing this, he heard a noise behind him. And he turned around and just about made out, he saw a horse-drawn sleigh being pulled across the river. And here was the traveler on his hands and knees. The man, his horse, and his sleigh full of coal dashed past him and out of sight, across the same river of ice on which he was creeping. God has promised to uphold us no matter what. But do we actually believe this? God has promised to grant us victory. But do we actually believe this? God has promised to forgive our sins no matter what we do. But do we actually believe this? Or do we kind of believe it? Do we creep along on our hands and knees as if they were too fragile to hold us? Do we think, yes, God forgives, but He couldn't forgive me? Yes, the victory is ours, but that doesn't apply to my circumstances. Rather, God is asking us to stand up in confidence that if God says it, it must be true. And our reading of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he relates how he has been going through a great deal of suffering. And it is apparent that the previous year had not been an easy one for him. It says that at the start. But note that he has not lost his hope of salvation. He is confident because his salvation and our salvation is not dependent on the conditions in which we live. You see, Paul had something that the world could not take from him because the world had not given it to him. Once we know that we have redemption in Christ, we can face this new year with assurance because salvation is anchored in Christ, who is at the right hand of God the Father. It is not something that the world can offer us. If you will keep your God-given responsibilities in the forefront of your mind and in the depths of your heart, it will help keep from concentrating on the many challenges that we face. When we are walking with Jesus, doing his will and bringing him glory, a peace surrounds us. You may know people like this, that no matter what life throws at them, they have this serenity, this peace that passes all human understanding and that no circumstance can steal from them. Paul had faced a very difficult period in his life before writing this letter. Yet in the midst of it, he writes with confidence and determination. And he gained this confidence and determination because he has been walking with Jesus. He would have read the same words as we do in Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jesus presented evidence that worry is irrelevant, for it fails to believe that God is in control. Worry is irrelevant because it does not change things or help us cope with any problems. Worry is irresponsible, and it burns up energy that should be used constructively to deal with our problems. Jesus uses the birds of the air to illustrate freedom from this worry. The lilies of the field illustrate freedom from status seeking, and the grass of the field illustrate our need to assess priorities. This concentration on doing God's will is the positive answer to worry. And be under no illusions, we will face trials, tribulations, problems on a personal level that will easily distract us unless we guard against it, unless we approach it with an appreciation of everything that God has done for us. A man was working on a building one night, and he slipped and fell, but he was able to hold on to the concrete lip on the building with his fingertips. He cried for help, but it was the middle of the night, and no one could hear him. Finally, in total exhaustion, he couldn't hold any longer with his fingertips. He'd made his peace, and he let go. But rather than fall into the abyss, he plunged 6 inches to a ledge that he did not realize was just below him. The man was only 6 inches from peace and security, and yet was holding on for dear life. Am I? Are you living life as if holding on by our fingertips for dear life? If so, we need to embrace the life that Jesus has for us, to let go, because God is in those decisions and we can live in peace. And you may be thinking, well, you have no idea what I'm going through. And you're right. I don't, but I know someone who does. Someone who has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Someone who knows exactly what we're going through. Many of us are feeling personal pains or anxieties in this new year. You may be wrestling with an important decision, whether with a task that needs done, or a relationship within our families. It could be the effects of a disabling disease or a worry about a health issue. Some of us are wondering if we can make it through the coming year without the presence of someone who meant so much to us. Some of us are feeling lonely, even in a room full of people. Some of us fear growing older or fear what the future will hold for us. Some wonder if dreams will ever be realized or whether the new year will be even more frustrating and filled with feelings of doubt than the last one. Many of us are feeling pain or worry. And the temptation when we feel like this is to stay with the familiar and the comfortable. That we felt this way for a while, and almost our identity is caught up in that. It's easier to crawl back into bed, to pull over the covers, and say, "Get back to me in 2 months' time." The temptation is to stay where we are, in the dark crevices of defeat or fear or worry. Yesterday was Epiphany. And in the Christian calendar, the emphasis is on a light shining in the darkness, reminding us that life carries on. That revelation and growth and new beginnings loom in the horizon. And the new road that appears up ahead, new roads that will take us, if we let them, into new adventures, new challenges, new opportunities. Epiphany reminds us that life carries on, even as one year ends and a new one begins. And often before Christmas, we read about the birth of Christ. And we often read about the wise men. But it was after the birth of Christ that the wise men appeared. And they approached from the east, obedient to their calling, curious about what that star meant. They humble themselves before the Christ child and offer sacrificial gifts of great value. In short, they fit the image of servants more than the royalty or those with superior wisdom, and should be excellent role models for us. But it's the few verses after that which are fascinating. Because after the Magi had offered their gifts, they realized the danger in returning to Herod and leave, as the scriptures tell us, for their own country by another road. That wasn't the plan when they left. The plan was to go back the way they had come. But they returned to their own country by another road. They didn't hang around to bask in the beauty of the babe. They didn't stay where it was safe or comfortable or go back the way that they knew. They set out from Bethlehem by another road, by a new road, a different road to the one that they've been traveling on. They move on in their journey of life, and so must we. For us, the manger should only be a stopping place in our journey of faith. And while that beauty and tranquility of the manger may move us deeply, we should not be transfixed by it. The rest of Christ's journey and our journey with us remains to be traveled. Each of us has a new road ahead in this new year. It's another road. It's a different road to the one that we've just been on. And as we step off that road, not knowing what we may find, not knowing exactly where we're going, we can be comforted that the light of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, goes with us, guiding us, leading us, showing us a way. The life will be different. The journey will be exciting, troubling, life-affirming, life-altering, but it will not be alone. And may the grace of God be with us every single step of that journey. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and what it means. We thank you of the example of your Apostle Paul, who faced many trials and tribulations, and as we read in the scripture, the threat of death. Yet he knew you, and he knew your purpose in his life. May we approach 2024 eager to seek your plans in our lives, excited to see what the road ahead will look like, strong in our faith, knowing regardless the direction that you are with us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And as we leave here this morning, Father, we ask that your Spirit surround us, your grace be in us, and your love flow from us. We ask this in your name. Amen. Let's still our hearts and pray to God. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning in humility and faith. We thank you for all you have given us and the many blessings we enjoy in our lives. Freely we have received, freely may we give. We ask for your guidance and strength as we begin a new year. We ask that you show us the way and fill us with courage and wisdom. No matter what this year has in store for us, Father, help us remember your love and grace and to be faithful in our service to you. Give us the patience and understanding to face the challenges that will come our way. You told your disciples that it would not be easy following you. And at times, Lord, it is extremely difficult. But help us to lift our eyes off earthly things and look to the heavens, to see your face. And as we look back down at those around us, as we see the need in others' lives, continue to give us the strength and the mercy and the love to meet people where they are, not where we think they should be, not with what we think will help them, but with real practical love in their lives. Help us live each moment feeling your Holy Spirit guide us, knowing that your purpose in our lives will lead us to many wonderful things. And now hear us as we join to say the words you taught your disciples to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, as this new year is waiting to unfold its secrets, we pause to give you thanks for the fresh year's potential stretched out before us. whether we are leaving behind a year of joy and blessings or trials and difficulties, we thank you that you are always with us. You know the need of your people for health, happiness, wholeness, those that need shelter, safety, solace, and those who are overworked and those who are unemployed among us. Like the star that you sent for the Magi to follow, please remind us of your presence in the year ahead, especially when life is busy or troubled. We often depend on our own skills and abilities when life seems easy, only turning to you, Lord, when we feel unable to help ourselves. Remind us daily that you are our rescuer, that by relying on you rather than ourselves in our broken world, we will receive healing, strength, encouragement, and then hope. We are so thankful that we serve a God who makes things new and gives us grace of fresh starts, allowing us to let go of our past mistakes, regrets, worries, and misjudgments. Thank you for today, a new opportunity to love, give, and be all that you want us to be. Continue to teach us to live this and every day, trusting in your tomorrow, and in the coming year, give each of us the courage to do all that you ask of us. While many look forward to a new year, we remember those who feel there is nothing to celebrate, those who are lonely, feeling unloved and unvalued, those who dread the bills that have to be paid in January, who can't afford to turn on the heat or put food on the table, or don't have a place to call home. Lord, we pray for those whose minds are troubled, worn down by the daily grind of life, those struggling to cope with bad news, and those who are troubled by the prospect of bad news. Lord, we know that this is happening not only across the world, but in our own city and not far from our own front door. Help us to give gladly and freely, not waiting to be asked, but seeing the need and instinctively responding in practical ways. Lord, we cry out to you on behalf of the people seriously affected by the many conflicts around your world, especially in Israel and Gaza and Ukraine. Our hearts break at the devastation and suffering that we see daily, and we know it breaks yours too. We pray for all political, military, and religious leaders involved in these conflicts to show genuine willingness to work towards a better future for their people. We long for dignity, mercy, justice, peace, and love to triumph. So please grant wisdom and courage to those with authority across the world working to end these conflicts. Lord, we pray for those in our church family who are unable to be with us today, particularly those who are unwell, going through treatment, or frail and elderly. Each one of us holds in our hearts someone who needs our prayers today, and we lift them all up to you and ask that they know of your continued presence and strength by their side. As we have just sung, all the power, all the glory, I will trust in his name, for my God is the Ancient of Days. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website. But in the meantime, stay faithful.